Joining us from Colorado Parks and Wildlife is Laurel Teal. Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, and your enthusiasm. And I you know what? I've been looking forward to this segment because after talking to you in the week, you are so enthusiastic about this, and your energy just comes through on it, and I really like that. And folks, what you know, we talk on this show all the time about wildlife management, about parks management, about parks activities, about fishing and hunting. But Colorado Parks and Wildlife does so much more with their properties and offers so many other forms of both recreation and education. And I think sometimes people aren't aware of all the wonderful opportunities you guys present. And that's kind of what you want to talk to us about today, isn't it, Laurel?
Absolutely. Well, as you said, sir, when people usually come to their public lands, the first thing folks think about is recreation. I work at Chatfield State Park. People will come to Chatfield to take their boats out on the water, go ice fishing in the winter. But I think one of the other big drives of people to their public lands, and especially their state parks, is this sense of place or this sense of meaning, especially in time. And history can provide this, as can archaeology, paleontology, and geology. When we can successfully communicate the story of the land to the public, I think it gives Coloradans this sense of place, which is very important, I think, for fostering this sense of stewardship of the land. It makes for more responsible hunters, more responsible fishers, boaters, swimmers, hikers, cyclists, and just about any other use you can think of for our lands. And often the story of the parks is right under our nose.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we all go out there, and I think sometimes we don't take a minute just to take a breath and take it in. And you know, even though there are park infrastructures at a place like Chatfield, there's so much that's natural that was developed by nature along the way. And I think, now you started doing a program at Castlewood Canyon, I believe, and now you're doing the one at Chatfield. And I think sometimes people don't realize how long ago human beings were using these areas, because water just draws people in, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Take, for example, the South Platte River. Chatfield State Park sits on the confluence of the Plum Creek and the South Platte, and we know that the South Platte River is millions of years old. Unlike the Mississippi or Missouri, it's never really changed its course. And it's been drawing people and animals to it since the Ice Age. Ice seems to be the theme of the show today, and Chatfield's history really starts in the Ice Age. For example, just south of the park, we have evidence that people have been hunting and living along the South Platte in what is today Chatfield for around 9,000 years. That comes from the Lamb Springs archaeological site, where they found the bones of almost 30 mammoths, all with human cutting tool marks on them. So it goes to show you that humans have loved their state parks, and especially Chatfield as a continuous human site, for a very, very long time. That's a legacy we engage with every time we set foot on a state park.
I don't think we have a mammoth season anymore, though, in Colorado, do we?
Oh, unfortunately not, but that would be one heck of a big game season, I can assure you.
But your goal, and you really are passionate about this, and it seems to be your calling, is not only to share this on the radio today, but to put programs together to share this with people on an everyday basis. Tell us what you're doing.
Absolutely. So I think that two of the best ways we can communicate the story of the land to visitors is through programs and through physical space. Like you mentioned, programs are always very successful. I was able to run one at Castlewood Canyon State Park in October. It was a haunted history hike, so people came in because they wanted some spooky Halloween activities, but they left with a really strong sense of connection to the place, talking about even some of the darker history. When you learn how to communicate that and showcase it in a way that is not just fun but informative, I think it gives people tools. They can look back at the past and feel empowered, like, oh, maybe we can learn from this. Or, you know, at the very least take comfort of, well, at least it's not as bad as when the Castlewood Dam burst in 1933. These guided hikes can be great as a one-on-one tool, but they can also be short programs that you'd bring to school groups and such. The other way that we can tell this story is through the use of physical space. And instead of putting up a museum or something just dedicated to history, I suggest that the best way we can use this is by using our commonly used spaces at our public lands. For example, at Chatfield, we've built up our new campground office, which you can come visit today, around the mammoth skull that they found digging out Chatfield Reservoir. This skull is currently on loan to us from the Smithsonian Institution, and it is 100,000 years old. It's one of the oldest mammoth skulls on the continent, and we're able to present it to our visitors every day. If you come in to register for a campsite, you can see it and read all about it, and we're hoping to use that space to put up more exhibits, not just about the past, but about how you can interact with the land in the present. How to safely ice fish, how to deal with ANS when boating, everything like that. Ultimately, when you can do these two things, you place people into this flow of time that I think gives them a better sense of meaning.
Now, there's obviously resources at the park, and I'm sure that there's resources online that people can find out about what parks have to offer, but you've piqued my interest when you mentioned school groups. If there's somebody who's an educator out there saying, wow, I'd like to get my class out to that or a field trip out there, would they contact you? How would they do that?
All they have to do is contact the state park that they're interested in. Usually when you look up our website or if you see a brochure, if you're coming out for a hike, it'll have a phone number there. Through there, we can then funnel school groups into their respective ranger, volunteer, or administrator who is running groups or taking tours through. For example, at Castle Canyon State Park, we're a really popular site for third and fourth graders as they learn about geology. Throughout the autumn, educators were calling in to try to see if any of our volunteers or rangers could help lead guided hikes through the canyon. And of course, we love accommodating stuff like that because I think one of the best ways to learn is to do it hands-on and to do it in the great outdoors. I think things really start to click for kids when they can actually see what they're being taught and be able to touch it and hear it and smell it and really interact with it as part of the landscape.
I think, you know, Laurel, we are out of time, but I think the message would be if people want to know more about the activities in the park near them, contact the park. Most of them have an interpretive center or a visitor center. Go talk to them. See what's available. Folks, you're going to find out there's so many more activities. Get off the couch and go for a walk in the park, but go check them out. Laurel, thank us.
Thank you for having me.